It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char-broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grillin' Guys.
Welcome, you listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. Hey, we're back. It's Barbecue Bob and Jop. We've had like a 3 or 4 week sabbatical. We did a little dance with Rona, and then Bob took a little vacation. But we're back in the seat, and it's going to be a great weekend to get out in your backyard and fire up a grill. We're getting this little middle of the winter break here on that frigid cold, and I'm fired up, but I am Jop, he's Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, thanks, Jop. And I think spring is here.
Right.
The groundhog died.
Yeah. Yeah.
He died.
He better than the rabbit.
I got to tell you, we have a good friend out in Lowell, Michigan, and he bought a beer store that was kind of like run of the mill, and he has invested his life savings and he's turned it into what I'm going to predict is going to be like one of the coolest beer stores you'll ever walk into. And his name is Joel Oudbeer. He's never out of beer, as Jop says. He's on the live line, on the grilling line right now from Showboat Spirits. How are you, Joel?
I'm doing well.
I stopped in for these beverages to bring on the show to kind of really promote your business because we love promoting small business. And your piano was getting tuned while I was there.
Yeah.
Tell us what's going on with a baby grand in a beer store.
Yeah, well, my wife's a musician and a pianist and constantly trained, so we needed to get her back playing. And so I threw that in, and people have been really digging it, especially Friday nights. We do usually wine beer tasting from 5 to 7 every Friday night, and she gets down and starts crazy on the keys, and people are digging it and hanging out and tasting, and we just talk beer. Yep.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. So I'm just trying to get my head wrapped around this because I might have been in a few beer stores in my day, but I've never been into one where they're playing live music while I'm there. Are you trying to get people to come in and hang out a little bit, or is it just atmosphere while you're there?
Well,
yes.
Both. We love people just to come and see and check out all the different beers from, you know, all over the United or the world, really, and mainly, of course, all the Michigan craft, and sit down and walk around and check things out and read, and then the ambiance is just really making people feel like, hey, I'd like to stay here. And we got a bunch of musicians that come in, and they're just, because of this COVID nightmare, they just have no place to play. And so they come in and they just sit down and play, you know, often. So
I think Jop can play the washboard. You might want him down there with that washboard.
You saw me, Saki? I can play chopsticks.
Yeah, well, definitely we got Saki. We can do that. Anything, spoons, you know, whatever you want to do.
Don't give him a spoon. He's got habits.
Right. But so we've got a huge selection of craft beer, but I understand there's liquor and wine as well. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, we're really trying to ramp up the bourbon for sure. I hate to say I'm a craft bourbon guy, but definitely trying to pull in a lot of these different bourbons that haven't been exposed, like a lot of the famous ones, and which are hard to get now. So we're definitely pulling a lot of Michigan, and I must have at least 15 to 20 Michigan bourbons that are coming out of the woodwork.
You could get shot in Kentucky for saying that.
Yeah.
Well, yes, right. I shouldn't say exactly.
So did you ever bring in Ancient Age like I asked you to?
Yeah.
Did you?
Ancient Age, yes.
So you better go buy it then, Bob.
I'll tell you, it's one that my neighbor Bill gave me. It was a really old bottle, and I thought it was
Bill was old too. Maybe he got it when it was a young bourbon.
I think he got it as a kid, but. I thought it was one of the best bourbons I'd ever had, and then my son-in-law checked it out in Kentucky, and it was $15.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, it's
better
definitely
yet.
On the. It is better yet, but it's crazy. I just like a benchmark, You know, I think that's just as good as, I hate to say it, but a Jack Daniels, and it's half the price. There's just a lot of good bourbons there that aren't paying for names, you know.
So since I'm a Lowell resident, I live outside of Lowell, but since that's my community, I'm thrilled at what you're doing. You and your beautiful wife, and I'm thrilled that she can play piano, because is it a baby grand?
Well, that's what it's called, a parlor grand.
Oh.
It's a small baby grand. It's so they consider this a parlor grand.
Well,
and
I was telling our producer here, Trevor and Jop, about the sound that was coming out of it in that old building of yours with the high ceilings, and it was grand.
Yeah, it is definitely it has a good sound, for sure. There's no doubt.
Yeah.
Very good.
I'm very excited for you. So tell people where you're at.
Yeah, we're right here on right down on Main Street, 213 East Main, or right across from the Main Street Barbecue Inn, or on the same block as
You're just around the corner from the cop shop, too, right?
Yes, exactly. Right across. I keep telling everybody when they walk out, make sure you wave over there because you're on candid camera, you know. And
well, the cool thing is you have a beautiful, beautiful business that you're building. You're throwing your heart into it. You moved back from Colorado, and here you are building up a big bourbon selection. We're creating a trifecta because 10 miles south in a little town called Alto is the Alto Bar, legendary for Friday night cheap steaks. But what they're really not known for that they should be is they have over 200 bourbons in stock. So with them down there and you, we just need, you know, one more business to have the perfect trifecta, and we'll figure out what that is.
Yeah, that'd be great. I've heard a lot about that, a lot of good things. I got to get in there to see what they're carrying so they can say if you want some, you can head this way.
There you go. That's the connection you need to make.
I think we just made it.
Yep. He's selling it by the glass. You can sell it just in a bigger glass bottle, that's all.
Joel Oudbeer, Showboat Spirits, Lowell, Michigan, right downtown, right by the Flat River Grill. So if you go downtown Lowell, Michigan, and want to get a nice handmade pizza or something like that at the Flat River, you won't be disappointed. And then just walk a couple steps down, and you'll trip into this place that's going to be absolutely amazing to you. Joel, thanks so much. We're going to taste a couple more of your beers. We got a Pigeon Hill here right now. And then I'm going to try your recommendation of the Plaid Habit.
Nice.
All right.
I appreciate it, Bob.
All right. Yeah. Great.
Thanks for your time, Joel.
You bet.
Hey, you guys. You have a good day.
All right. Well, that's cool. Got a new beer store, and the guy's going after it.
I mean, it's
kind of Lowell. If you've never been to Lowell, it's exit 51 off 96 between 52, excuse me, off 96 between Grand Rapids and Lansing. And you go north about 4 miles, and you hit a T where there's two gas stations on opposite corners.
Take a right.
Take a right. That's M21 if you're coming in from like St. John's
or Williamston if you've been over at
exactly
Old Nation.
Right. So there's lots of ways to get there, but he's right on the main street in Lowell, just a couple blocks beyond the river. Anyway, cool guy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cool little town, and it's like the little town up north I grew up in. It's just a farm town.
Yeah.
Except this one still has jobs.
Right. Yep. But there's a grain elevator there.
Yes.
Right? I mean, every little farm town had a grain elevator.
That's what drew me to it. I came off the freeway. I was a young buck, and I was looking for land, and I saw those elevators coming down the road, and it's like, oh, this is pretty.
Yeah. Yep. Cool little community.
Yeah.
Cool little community.
Jop, you had something you wanted to share.
Well, I'm going to cover it in the next segment because it's going to take a little longer. I made some comfort food clam chowder, and it came through the Dutch oven. So I want to share it with everybody. Stick with us. We'll be back.
All right.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
Hey guys, Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites: Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Teas, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey. Engineering better Michigan beer.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of, to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You've got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Fenn Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fennville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine. Fenn Valley Vineyards.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys.
Welcome back. You listen to Grillin' Guys. Gosh, anytime we get a chance to talk to a guy that owns a beer store, it's cool. But when you got a beer store with a piano in it, you're in Lowell, Michigan, baby.
And the guy was tuning it while I was there.
Yeah, right.
Couldn't tune a fish.
Right. But he tuned a piano. But anyway, so I made a little comfort food over the weekend, last weekend, and I want to share it with you because if you guys are listeners at all, you know that I give Bob a little bit of pain about wanting to do everything in a Dutch oven. Well, it got so painful, he bought me one. And so I figured I better learn how to use it.
Had to win him over.
Right. It's a cast iron. Lodge is the brand. A Dutch oven is a cast iron pot with a lid, if you don't know what it is. But
if you don't know what it is, get online and look up Lodge Cast Iron.
Right.
They're out of Tennessee. They're from America.
Right, and they're in stores all over. So anyway, I use this Dutch oven, and I also use my Big Green Egg, right? Big Green Egg is a Kamado grill, and it's a charcoal-fired grill. I put a pretty hot fire in that, and I took two red peppers, like bell peppers. I took two sweet onions, right? And then I put those on the grill and let them get cooked. And then I put the little yellow gold potatoes, right? The little guys that are about the size of a golf ball.
Yep.
I put about a dozen of those on there. And I didn't want to cook them. All I wanted to do was get them charred, right? So I had a fire pretty hot. And I left them on there maybe 5 minutes aside. Didn't want to cook the potatoes. Just wanted to get that char, a little bit of flavor on the outside, blister up that pepper a little bit. Got all that done, pulled that stuff off, set the Dutch oven right on the fire, on the grate, got it smoking hot, and put 2 pounds of thick bacon in there and let it render down. I chopped it up in a pretty heavy chop, but I just let it render off, and for 4 or 5 minutes, then it cooked, stirring it around because that cast iron was hot. So then I pulled that out of there, but I left the grease in, right? So then I chopped up the onions, the peppers, and the potatoes. And the potatoes, I just quartered them.
I'm so hungry.
Right, I just quartered them. And then when I had bought 3 cans of clams, right? And chopped, not minced, but chopped clams is what I got. And I drained those off and I saved the juice in a jar, okay? So,
because it smells so good.
Right, well, no, I wanted to use it in the recipe. Then I used a cup of chicken stock and I used 2 cups of heavy cream, okay? So what I did is I took that out and I put those onions, those peppers, and those potatoes in there in that bacon grease that was still hot, let them saute a little bit, soften up a little bit. And then I took 3 stalks of celery, chopped that up. But I didn't want that cooked so much. I put that in right at the end. Okay? So then I put in my clam juice, which was probably about 2 cups. Then I put in the chicken broth, which was 1 cup. And then I put in the 2 cups of cream. Okay, and I let that come together. Of course, there was some garlic in there. I actually used Sobey Meats Tim's Blend is what I used as a seasoning. I put quite a little bit of that in there when the vegetables were sautéing, and I let all that come together with that. Now I put the liquids on, and I let it come up to a little bit of a boil. It was bubbling a little bit, simmering. And then I poured those 3 cans. They were like 8-ounce cans of like tuna fish size, but they were clams. I threw the clams in there, let them cook for 4 or 5 minutes, and then it just, you know, just all starts bubbling together. And then I had bread bowls, and I'd hollowed out the bread bowls, and I ladled that stuff out of that Dutch oven and put it in a bread bowl, hit it with a little bit of chives on top that I just chopped up. Un-ba-flippin-leavable. Super simple recipe. You heard it right there. That's all I did. But my gosh, was that good. And it was hot, you know, and it was those during those nights when it's, you know, my wife comes
nothing.
Home. Yeah, right. My wife comes home at 7 o'clock at night, and I got it all done and put it in a bread bowl. Man, you just, it was just like, you just want to cuddle up against that thing, man. It was so good. A little bit of white wine that we had with it, a little Chardonnay, and it was like, bang, I hit that one out of the park. But it was in a Dutch oven, baby. That's what
that's
it was
awesome.
All about, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, really cool. Great recipe.
That's very, very cool.
Yep.
So.
You wanted to talk about spatchcock and a bird. I threw a curveball at you
when
I boiled a clam.
That's okay. I think a lot of people miss the opportunity to take a whole chicken and do something fun with it. And we've talked about spatchcocking for years. But if you're a new listener or weren't paying attention the last time, we're going to do it again. And it's a very simple practice. You basically take a whole bird, and you can do this with a Cornish hen, a turkey, a chicken, a pheasant, partridge, anything, grouse, whatever you want to do it with. And you flip it over on its breast, and you take some poultry shears, and you just cut the spine out of it.
From the tail to the front, or
yep.
from the front to the back,
yep.
doesn't matter.
You cut the spine out of it, and then it'll flop open. And then you take your I use a boning knife, but I'll take that boning knife and go down the sides, and I'll cut the ribs out of it because you don't want anybody, you know, mistakenly biting into one of those.
Well, and the smaller the bird, the more toothpicky they are, and then you don't want to get
– Yeah, so you get the ribs out of it, and you can actually totally debone it if you want, but if you just cut a few of the bones out that are obviously keeping it together, it'll be very pliable.
Well, what I would say is you probably don't want to debone the breast.
No.
And you don't want to debone the thighs. But
no.
the cavity is what you're talking about.
But you can.
Right.
I mean, some guys do it. But so basically, you're just taking out the bones that are in the way. And then I'm going to brine it, especially if it's a wild game like a grouse or a pheasant or something like that, partridge, even a Cornish hen, anything like that. I'm going to brine it, but I'm going to brine a chicken too. Because it just makes it really, really juicy, and it allows you to infuse a little bit of flavor if you want some aromatics in it. Then you've got carte blanche. You can do whatever you want with it. You can grill it. You can fry it. You can broast it. You can roast it. You can smoke it.
Toast it.
You can smoke it.
Or you might even want to smoke it. Right.
But if you put the thing in the proper position, when you place it on the pan, however you're cooking it, when you get done with it, you have this really cool presentation.
And what's the proper position?
Well, it's whatever you like, but basically you're gonna lay it out, and you're gonna have the legs going in a certain direction and the wings in a certain direction, and it's just gonna look really cool when it cooks because that's what you're gonna present.
Right, and some people have called this brick chicken too because it lays flat like a piece of paper on the grill,
but that's
right?
That's different.
Right. But you spatchcock it to make a brick chicken.
You have to spatchcock a chicken to brick it, but that's
yep.
where you put the brick in the fire and wrap
right.
it in foil. And I'm not a fan of that. I tried it once and I didn't get it.
Right.
Maybe I did it wrong.
Right.
But it was like.
Well, I didn't mean to derail you, spatchcock chicken, and you're going to cook it on both sides, right? Aren't you? Going to cook the spatchcock chicken on
if
both sides?
If you're going to grill it, you'll have to.
Right.
And if you're going to grill it, I'm going to tell you to oil the bottom of it, the opened portion of the chicken first, and then flip it so that you're melding some of that fat from the skin, and then flip it over and crisp up your skin and cook the other side.
Right.
If you're going to smoke it, put your skin up.
Right.
And put it on the smoking rack.
And then you wouldn't flip it
no.
if you're smoking it.
No.
Right.
No, and I like smoking them or doing them in an offset fashion because it's a thick protein. It's quite a nice chunk of meat. You got 2-3 pounds there, 4 pounds. I don't know what the average chicken is.
Mm-hmm.
Probably 4 pounds.
Yeah.
But you can do it with a small turkey, too.
Sure.
Sometimes you get an opportunity to get a young, fresh turkey.
Mm-hmm.
Those spatchcock out beautifully because there's more meat.
Right.
And then you definitely want to brine it because the breasts are even leaner, and you want to make sure that you don't, you know, get dry meat.
Right.
Spatchcock!
And one last thing is use your digital thermometer. Get into the thighs. Make sure that's 165 before you pull that thing off of there. Nobody likes to cut that open and find that. But anyway, coming up next, maybe a little mac and cheese, a little more comfort food for the dead of winter. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com. Fen Valley Vineyards, located on the shores of Lake Michigan in Fenville, Michigan, 45 minutes south of Grand Rapids. It's one of the most beautiful, most picturesque vineyards in North America. This family's been making wine for over 40 years. You have to bring your friends and family to the tasting room and experience pure Michigan wine, Fen Valley Vineyards.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
Welcome back. We were just talking about that chowder that I made. I don't know if you listened to the previous segment, but
Trevor's starving.
It was so good, man. And I put it in a bread bowl. You cut the top off that thing, and you dunk that crunchy, crisp crust. I'm gonna say that three times fast. In that soup. Oh man, those are good bites, dude.
If you're in the West Michigan market, you might listen to 97.9. It's a great rock station on Saturdays. You still doing Saturdays? You'll catch the golden vibes of Trevor Swanson.
Saturday and Sunday from 10 to 3. You can find me on 97.9 GRD.
He's spinning the final,
He's got a much better gig than we do.
He's still starving, though. Right. Should have brought some food for him. Right. Got to feed that boy.
So in the Full Belly Deli, we're talking about Southern Mac. What makes Southern Mac any different from Northern
Mac? It's usually got a little heat.
Yeah?
And I think they incorporated it into barbecue before we thought of it, because you know the Southerners do barbecue way earlier than we do, right? I mean, they started it a couple hundred years ago. I think that Native Americans actually helped them get into the mode when the Germans landed in South Carolina.
They smoked and dried a lot of meat for preserving.
But also the Native Americans taught them how to cook on fire, because that's what they did everything on.
Sure.
And I think they kind of collaborated and they found a hog and just made him squeal.
There you go.
We're recording to
Chris
Bob.
Brought the turkeys over, and the rest was history.
Thanks, yeah. Christopher.
Yeah.
So Southern Mac, I love making mac and cheese, and my whole family loves mac and cheese. Everybody loves mac and cheese, right?
So I'm interested in the cheese that is your cheese of choice.
I can use any cheese.
Uh-huh.
And the beautiful thing about mac and cheese is, if you've got a variety, and I love cleaning out the cheese drawer in the fridge.
There you go.
Because if you get a blend of...
Cut the mold off, doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't at all. We do aged provolone. We always have some American cheese. It really helps to have that Velveeta.
Come on.
Yes.
That's not cheese.
Oh, dude.
Anything that sits on the store shelf for 3 years before it goes bad
all
is not cheese.
Cheese ages, okay?
Yeah, right.
No, Velveeta's a big deal.
It's a must refrigeration have. Needed. It's not cheese, I'm just saying.
It's good enough for astronauts, for crying out loud.
Yeah, exactly.
Such a snob.
Send the crap to the moon. That's where it goes.
So anyway, I will usually have about two-thirds Velveeta in my mac and cheese, and then I'm going to go easy on the rest of the stuff. But I want to throw some sharp cheddar in there. And maybe aged provolone.
Why ruin your Velveeta? It's so good.
You can do it with pure Velveeta, actually, if you have enough bourbon.
Yeah, if you don't mind eating plastic.
Right now we're tasting a plaid habit from
habit is making Velveeta in your mac and cheese.
Showboat Spirits in Lowell, Michigan. He provided us with Boulevard, one of my favorite places in Kansas City.
We've been there.
Plaid habit, that's right.
Yeah.
You're a bad habit. So anyway, back to mac and cheese. What I'll do is I'll chop up some onions really small And I'm going to saute them in some of Old World Olive's butter EVO.
Good
and
stuff.
I'm going to saute those onions. I'm going to already have rendered off some bacon, and I'm going to chop up bacon in some nice Sobe has some beautiful bacon that he makes. It's his homemade bacon.
Right.
And I'm going to fry that up, and I'm going to chop it into bits. It's just – I'm so hungry, Trevor. It's wonderful bits. And depending on who I'm feeding, I might even throw in some chopped up jalapeno or put some cayenne in because I like the heat.
Right.
But my bride, not so much, so I got to be a little careful. You can always chop up some jalapenos and put them in a bowl with some scallions and stuff like that and have them on the side so people can stir it in as they serve themselves or as you serve them. But also the key is do not cook your pasta too long.
El dente.
You want it to be a little firm. And if you're going to bake it or smoke it, you definitely want it to be a little firm. And you want your cheese sauce to be very liquid-like, lucid, very runny, because it's going to want to thicken up. And there's nothing worse than going to a barbecue shack, like that one Joel mentioned earlier in Lowell, where they serve you your mac and cheese, and it's like a it looks like bread pudding.
Right.
That's not mac and cheese. Mac and cheese has to flow, baby.
Right.
Gotta flow.
Smooth. Yeah. And when it cools down, you could use it for the cornerstone of your next house. Yeah.
Yeah. So the key is to have your cheese sauce nice and runny.
Velveeta-y.
Runny. Velveeta-y. Let me give you a safety tip about Velveeta.
Yeah. Then, here's my safety tip. Don't buy it.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's what made America great.
Yeah, I guess.
America.
Yeah.
So whatever. I'm also so I'm big on putting that in, but I'm also going to put some mustard powder in.
Always. Yep. Yep. Gives it a little zing.
It does.
Yep.
It's you can't taste it. It just changes the profile a little bit.
Yep.
So then I might put it in a pan and bake it, or put it on the smoker and bake it. But I might put some panko
careful
on top.
On the smoker, though. It's amazing how much smoke that cheese and that macaroni picks up.
It does.
It can get smoky in a hurry.
You don't have to have flavor wood on your smoker. You can just have a good charcoal fire or wood fire.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a great point, actually.
Right. I made that mistake before, and you take it off. It's all you can taste is smoke. Even if you got 2 pounds of Velveeta in your mac and cheese, all you can taste is smoke. Yeah.
Oh, you're such a jerk sometimes. So I'm going to sabotage your mushroom segment.
This is your mushroom segment. I don't do mushrooms, but anyway.
So anyway, so you get it nice and runny when you pour it in the pan, and make sure that your pasta is not too well cooked. It's kind of flexible but a little firm yet, so it still needs another 10 minutes or so. Throw it in the oven. Put some panko. What works really nice, of course, too, is crushed up Better Made potato chips.
Oh, yeah.
That's really good on top.
Or as my beloved mother used to do, she used to take a half a stick of butter and a sleeve of Townhouse crackers and melt the butter and then crush the crackers and stir the crushed crackers into the butter, and that was the top of her macaroni and cheese.
My beloved
bride
does that. I'm sure
it was very, very diet-friendly. Right? But
I
remember it fondly as a kid. So I have a macaroni question for you, macaroni and cheese question for you. Does anybody out there eat ketchup on their macaroni and cheese?
I would throw them out of the house if they did.
Well, I like it. I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, Velveeta, not so much.
On a pasty?
A little bit of ketchup?
Pasty, fine.
No, gravy. Gravy's
you
got
are.
The pasty.
This dude, he's not from Michigan, okay? I don't know where you really grew up. I'm going to say it's Uranus or somewhere. Right, you're like an alien. The plaid habit's going down really well.
It is. You know what? It says it's a Canadian whiskey barrel aged Imperial Brown.
Yeah. No, that's a lot to say.
Sorry for the tangent, but that you can taste that.
So if you want some good mac and cheese and you're up north, go by Chase Creek Smokehouse.
Mm, yes.
Because they are open again, thank God. And their mac and cheese is fantastic. They put pulled pork on it. But by all means, try their ribs and their brisket. They've got two big Southern Prides out back. Pat has trained that staff wonderfully. And when I say staff, I mean his wife, Linda. Linda does all the work.
I think you got the trainer and the trainee switched around there.
No, Pat's the barbecue expert. He's He really is. He understands food so well. But Chase Creek Smokehouse, Chase, Michigan, just 5 miles west of 131 on US 10, my stomping grounds.
Right, great place. Coming up next, we're going to feed Bob's mushrooming appetite. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, this is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about my favorite butcher shop. It's Sobey Meats on the northwest side of Grand Rapids on Remembrance Road. This is a custom butcher. They'll cut any piece of meat that you want, any size, any way that you can dream of to make sure that your grilling experience is perfect. Sobey Meats smokes all their own meats. They've got kielbasas and over 40 different flavors of brats. You got to try Sobey Meats on Remembrance Road. Tell them the Grilling Guys sent you.
Hi, this is Shasta with Old World Olive Company. I want to personally invite you to visit one of our tasting rooms and sample any one of our certified extra virgin olive oils or aged balsamic vinegars. My knowledgeable staff can show you hundreds of pairing combinations. We also offer seasonings, tapenades, and specialty wines to complete your meal. So please, step into my kitchen and make a lasting memory of your own. Or you can visit us at theoldworldoliveco.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. A grill so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grillin' Guys, I'll tell no lies. Do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill, smoking up a rack, a little taste is just like crack. We're backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody grills a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grilling Guys rig, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. So check us out and have no doubt, the Grilling Guys will make the crowd shout. Stick around and put down the rake, fire up the grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows, you gotta listen to the Grilling Guys show. That's it.
Welcome back. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. You're listening to Grilling Guys and our banter back and forth.
Yeah, let's talk about mushrooms. Jop has actually convinced me. If I got him hooked on Dutch ovens, he got me hooked on mushrooms.
Right.
Here's to you, babe.
Yeah, man.
All right.
Here's
Thank
to you.
Thank you so much. You're
I love me some
shrooms.
Did
I say babe?
I always say that at the beginning of the show. What's cooking, baby?
A couple deer camps will do it.
Yeah, right. Hey, wait a minute.
Speaking of deer camp, I sold my lanyard.
Yeah, what the hell?
I know.
I didn't even get a chance to stay in it. It was last year you invited your better friends, and now I was like,
maybe if I start talking early,
I can get a spot. No, it's gone.
I'm going to buy something else, but I think I'm going to get something I can tow. Because it's much easier just to tow a unit up and leave it. So I'm looking for...
Here we go. Now he's going to need a new truck, too.
Yes, I am.
Yeah.
Although my Jeep's paid off, I'd hate to think about having a car payment.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, I'm probably going to get a travel trailer of some sort. Anyway, so I sold the land yacht. Yeah, she's gone. So all that work it needed is somebody else's now.
There you go. Nothing wrong with that.
Garlic mushrooms. There's a lot of ways you can do mushrooms. I mean, they're like tofu.
Not anything like tofu. I'm sorry. No, I disagree.
Well, they are kind of a... They're a little spongy and they'll absorb flavor. Yeah.
I'll give you the commonality there. Beyond that, there's nothing like
they're
tofu.
They're not a protein, are they? They're a fungus.
Right. Among us. they are. But no, but
so if you want to saute some onions, there's a great recipe here with some lemon juice, parsley, olive oil, garlic, and pepper, and then a pound of large. I like the white mushrooms because you can get them readily.
Mm-hmm. I see now, and they call them many names: cremini, baby Bella. But the brown ones, I think, have a little more flavor than the white ones, and I try to go after those. But either one of them are fine.
I think this spring I would like to hook up with somebody that knows morels.
You know who that is?
No,
it's our buddy Brad from Garrett's Appliance.
Really?
Yo, he is a mushroom expert.
Brad Ensing?
Yes, mushroom expert. I'm not.
So
I'm not blowing fungus up his tail. He is a mushroom expert. He absolutely is.
You are
and,
so
he's
gay.
A guy that will go around and find stuff that's like you and I'd walk by because it looks like something that you shouldn't touch, and he'll pull it off a log and eat it.
Anyway, so there's one recipe. Now, if you're in a jam, depending on what you're going to use the mushrooms for, shish kebabs comes to mind.
Mm-hmm.
I love me some big fat mushrooms.
Well, let's talk about that, though, because you got to be careful with them. They break.
Yes.
So here's my tip.
Got to be big.
Right. One, they got to be big, and soak them in water for about 5 minutes.
Wrong.
Before you put them on the skewer.
Wrong.
Uh-uh. No, man.
Nope. Marinate them in Charlie Jabor's shish kebab recipe.
Right. All I was trying to do is get liquid in the mushroom.
I understand that.
To get it so that when you skewer it, it doesn't bust up.
Now, we used to do mushrooms in Hawaii, and we would pick them. But I don't remember how the rest of the story went.
Yeah, anyway, right.
So if you're going
to
do some...
I used to buy them from a guy down the hall. Yeah, in my dorm.
In the projects.
Right.
So back to Earth. If you get some mushrooms, whatever type you get, you can use our... If you go on thegrillingguys.com and look up Charlie Jabor shish kebab, get that marinating recipe... And put your mushrooms in there. And here's the key. Marinating mushrooms is a trick because they want to float.
Right.
So you have to get the right size container, and you have to hold your hand on them, and you got to pour the marinade in and then put a top on them so they're compressed.
Right.
Because they'll all want to float. They're all trying to survive the Titanic.
Right. But the key there is you want them submerged.
Yes.
Right? You don't want them to float. So you put enough in there so that when you put the jar lid on, that they are all under.
Now,
little onion in there, maybe?
Mrs. Barbecue Bob bought some really cool Rubbermaid containers recently. They're new style, and they've got these, like, hermetically designed tops. So you can compress the top, flip the latches on them, put your marinade in there, and then flip the container over. It won't leak. You have to, when you're marinating it, you got to keep flipping it. A Ziploc bag would work even better, actually.
Well, if you can get the air out of it.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
You can suck it out.
You know what? I have one of those containers. You left it at my house. You brought over something for me to try, and I've washed it 3 or 4 times after we've used it.
Yeah,
after we used it.
You forgot.
Over and over, and I forgot to give it back to you.
Yeah, see, so, I told you you forgot.
But so you have one less of those at your house than you really think you have.
You know what? They sell them at...
Why sell them? I can get them from your house.
They sell them at Target.
Yeah.
It's really easy.
Right.
Back to Target.
Hey, I at work this week, I got a little shipment in. I won a contest last year in 2020. They're shipping prizes in 2021, and it's something that you have one of that now I have one. And I'm interested in talking about it. It's called a solo fire pit, S-O-L-O.
Solo can,
right.
S-O-L-O.
Yeah, and it's stainless
steel.
It's
awesome.
Well, that's what you've always said, but I got one. It's like maybe 24 inches across.
Oh, you got the big one.
Yeah. And
they love you.
Right. And
come with the bag?
Yeah, yep.
All it needs is a lid.
Right.
And they don't make
lids for them. No, they do. They buy
it. I need a lid
now because, you know, you get the literature. It's like buying anything, you read about it. But I got this new, it's a fire pit. Is really what it is, but it's made to burn real wood.
If you look at thegrillingguys.com, punch in on the search bar S-O-L-O. You'll see where I actually wrote a review for those people years ago when they first came out. And, of course, they conveniently let me keep the unit I tested for.
Well, yeah. See, so Jop, 5 years later, has a solo stove because he had to work his off to earn one.
No, wait
Bob,
a minute.
He
wait,
just writes a little review wait, and they say,
wait. You scammed everybody's points
I tell you what, I've sat around that solo stove.
We have it on our front porch. It's
right.
Covered. We have it on the front porch, and Maureen loves that.
It's a little. It's a smaller fire. It's not like a fire pit in your backyard.
Yeah, but it'll blow you out in heat.
Right, because of the way it's engineered. Right.
Awesome engineering. It's got a reburn. It doesn't smoke.
Right.
It's got like a reburn.
Yep. There's air in the bottom, and then it funnels air up to the top of the flame before it comes out the top of
and
the
that,
little.
That design was kind of what I incorporated into your trailer smoker.
Right. You need to get a little more incorporation because we need more heat. out of that trailer smoker.
We're going to take care of
it. All right. But anyway, all right, we're near the end, thank God.
We still have two beers
and,
left.
And Plaid Habit has been good to me. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? I mean the kind that makes you remember walks with your grandfather. Come on over to Schmoe's Brewing Company in Grand Rapids or Petoskey, and we have some handcrafted root beer, probably the best in the state of Michigan. That's 2600 Patterson in Grand Rapids or 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey. You know you're dying for a good root beer float.
Hey, it's Barbecue Bob. My wife and I recently built a new addition to our home and remade the kitchen. We went to Garrett's and picked out all of our products so that everything would fit in his space well. The selection was from best price to best quality, and the service was great. The delivery team was courteous and careful. Go to Garrett's Appliance, and while you're there, check out the huge selection of top brands of grills and smokers from North America. Garrett's Appliance, where families serve families. Garrett'sAppliance.com.
Now you're a man! A man, man, man! Now you're a man! A manny, manny, man! A man, man, man! You are now a man! You're a man! Now you're a man!
Today's man law. A man is allowed to scream only when he's caught off guard and bitten by a large, deadly animal.
Right. You know what? I scream like a schoolgirl when I see a snake. I just don't like snakes.
Schoolgirl? I like schoolgirls.
I understand, but they scream a little bit, you know. And I am not.
So
I am
creepy.
Not, I am not. No, that's not creepy.
I got to tell you a funny one. So last night I'm going to bed. My wife's sister is over, and of course they'll stay up till 3 or 4
in the morning. So now you're going creepy.
They'll stay 3 or 4 in the morning. They'll stay up watching there. I don't know what they were watching, but I was down in my man cave on BitChute. Watching videos, and I came upstairs, I filled my glass, I go down the hall, lock the garage door, lock the front door, and I came up behind her on the sofa, and
who?
My wife.
Okay.
And put my hand on her face to give her a kiss, and she bolted and screamed. It was so good. I did all this, she didn't even know I was around.
Right.
Okay. You want to rob somebody? Rob my wife.
Sneaky Bob. Sneaky Bob. So this weekend, Bob. No, actually, later today. Later today, our friend Chaz, the Baritone of Beer.
You going to do it?
And his internationally famed ice fishing team are hosting a Boy Scout outing out on Reed's Lake in Grand Rapids here.
They really are internationally famous.
They are. And I'm going to go out, and I got me 150 hot dogs. And we're going to grill some dogs for the little Boy Scouts that are coming out. It's such a cool event because moms and dads and kids all come out there, and we provide them with fishing equipment.
Were you in Boy Scouts?
Yes, I was.
Were you?
Yeah, I never achieved much, but I was in
Me
it.
Me neither, but I loved it.
I got a bunch of buddies that were...
Did you do the Klondike Derby?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where'd you go?
What? Just a long lake in down by Shartucky.
So it was in the dead of winter.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was your event?
What we did a camping trip and
you have to do?
What did I have to? Well, I had to do all of this.
You never
quit derailing me. I want to tell about
never
the good
guess
thing I'm
what
doing.
I had to do.
Well, you know what? We're going to find out.
We're going
to
find out.
What did you have to do?
I had a cast iron skillet.
Surprise.
And what I had to do.
So this affliction goes way back to childhood.
This I just figured this out. That's why it's so cool. Okay, I had to fry a pancake. And I had to pull it off the fire and flip the pancake up in the air over a stick, like a limbo stick, you know, do the limbo. I had to flip the pancake over this stick and have it land batter side down in the frying pan. Guess what?
How many times?
First time.
Oh, come on.
First time,
not
baby.
Not buying it.
First time. We
not
slept in the
it.
Snow.
No. Not buying
we slept
it. That
in the
I'll believe.
Snow.
You're flipping a pancake over a branch and
wait
catching it in
a
pan.
Wait a minute.
Not.
Dude.
Not.
Dude.
No.
Look at me. Come on.
Right.
Cast iron?
No.
Cooking
not
food?
Not buying it.
My natural.
Not buying it.
Oh, you're such a baby.
Not buying it. But anyway,
I will fry you any day in the snow.
This isn't about you or me. This is about the Boy Scouts. They're coming out. They're going to learn how to ice fish. Chaz and his buddies. Brought all the ice fishing equipment.
Reed's
all I'm
going
to do, yeah, Reed's Lake, Michigan. All I'm going to do is be out there and cook them some dogs. I got a little side of chili on the side. We'll have some chips, some water.
Nothing wrong with a dog,
no,
baby.
No, they'll enjoy it.
So what are you going to grill it on?
If the health department is listening, by the time you hear this, my dogs are cooked, baby. So
well, they're cooked when you got them.
Right.
Okay.
They are.
Earth
they
to
are.
Health department.
Right. Exactly.
So you're going to use your tech infrared?
I am. I'm taking the tech on the sled to the lake with a table.
Need a mule?
What?
Need
yeah.
a mule?
Yeah, bring her down. That'd make it a lot easier because I huff and puff, man.
All right,
I'm dragging all that stuff behind me.
I can't take a motorhome, but I can take a mule.
Right, yeah, exactly.
And I can tune a piano.
All right. You've been listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. You can tell it's been a while since we've been on the radio together. This was a little bit of a train wreck, but hey, you know what? If you got to ride a train, there's no better train to ride than ours.
And if you're out and about and you want to take a nice road trip, Friday nights from 5 to 7... they're doing beer tastings at Showboat Spirits downtown Lowell, and Joel Oudbeer and his wife is a doll, by the way.
She's all doll, and he's not out of beer.
She's a doll, and she plays the piano. You need to go out and see these people because they are like the spirit of America. They're building a business, and they're just wonderful people to get to know.
All right. We appreciate you tuning in each every week. Thanks for tolerating us. It's been a little bit of fun for us. I hope it was for you, too. We'll talk with you next week.